Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The first half of this prayer is spoken not to dear Father, far away and distant. As a matter of fact, it's the first time a parental word has been used to describe God. And it is not a word that we normally hear or would think that anyone would pray to God back in this time when people were so respectful that they only used the word Yahweh to describe God. The word Father, as we translate it, Abba, really would be more accurately translated as Daddy. So we come to this intimate relationship to say, God, we come to make your name holy, to know that it's holy, to look for your will, not for our own, and to seek to be your people in the world. And the second half of the prayer then is more of a prayer that asks with verbs. Give us, O God, our daily bread. Forgive us the ways we hurt people, just as you forgave us. And don't bring us into trial, but please rescue us from all that is evil and dangerous. So I'm willing to admit to you that I was one of those children who prayed, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Because I thought that's what it was. And then I had a friend in seminary when we finally admitted it who had a better one. She thought it was, Our Father in heaven, how did you know my name? And I have a friend whose daughters prayed it this way. Give us this steak and daily bread and forgive our mattresses. Until one day, one of the sisters argued with her sister and said that it was not daily bread, it was jelly bread. So it makes sense that our children have mistaken a word or two in the prayer. Some of you might have too, because honestly, it's not something that really we sat down and learned. Most of us learned it sitting among God's people in places like this. We learned by being around people who prayed for us and with us. You know, this prayer can be so familiar that we pray it without thinking about it. I know that I do. I imagine we all do, maybe more weeks than not. But today I want us to consider it and realize how really bold and tenacious and faithful we are if we pray these words with integrity, with faithfulness. So each word in the Lord's Prayer could be taken apart. There's meaning in each one. But today, because it is World Communion Sunday, I want to focus on one line. Give us this day our daily bread. So what exactly is daily bread? You know, we don't live in a time that typically thinks about daily bread. Honestly, today's Sunday, I am going to spend this afternoon coming up with a meal plan for the week. I will get my groceries. I will try to have food for the whole week until that day comes that we have to go out because I didn't plan well. We may have to get pizza. And most of us keep calendars and plan our vacations. We save for college funds. We invest for retirement. We mostly have goals for the week and the month and the year and for years to come. With so much going on in our lives, who has time for daily bread? It seems kind of short-sighted and maybe impractical for those of us in 2019. But here it is, from the lips of Jesus. Pray these words. Give us this day our daily bread. So if we look back, maybe we can get a clue of what daily bread is. Back in the days of Exodus, you may remember, God's people were out in the heat of the desert. They were burning up. Some of them said, I wish we'd never left slavery if this is what it looked like. We're wandering. People are starving. They went to Moses and they cried out, we're starving to death. What are you going to do about it? And Moses kept saying, remember, God will provide enough for each day. But somehow people kept grumbling. And so God provided this thing called manna. This thing that scholars think was probably a crusty kind of thing that tasted a little bit like a honey wafer. And in the morning, people could go and gather it and eat it and have plenty. But like so many of us, that daily bread seemed like maybe it wasn't enough. So there were people, even though they'd been told not to, there were people who took that manna and they put it in their pockets and their skirts so that they would have enough for later. But you know what happened? the bread, the manna rotted and stunk. It was not edible the next day. They tried to hoard it. They didn't really trust that God would give them enough for daily bread. To those people, daily bread was a hard concept. And I imagine if we're willing to admit it, just looking for daily bread is a hard concept for us. I don't think we're so different from those Israelites. We'd really rather know that we have enough money and enough time, enough shelter, enough of everything to at least last through the next few months. So maybe daily bread was not so different for those Israelites as it is for those of us in Germantown today. And in the midst of it, then and now, Jesus comes and says, pray this way. Give me my daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. It is a simple two-part line. Give us this day. If you know anybody who is part of an Al-Anon group, an AA group, any 12-step group, one of the things you'll learn is that the way people get and stay sober very often is one simple saying, one day at a time. When people feel like they want to take a drink, they might call a sponsor and say, I want to go do this, and I feel like I'm going to have a beer. And the sponsor can say, remember, one day at a time, all you have to do is this day. Maybe we're not so different. You know, today is all we have, and today truly is enough. And what I know from personal experience is if we spend our time grasping for the future, we lose this day. Maybe it's enough for us to really just live today, to see what God has for us one day at a time. The other half of this line is our daily bread. And it's not just yeast and flour and water. What are the things that sustain us? What are the things that sustain you? Do you have shelter and breath and water and food? What are the things that you have that are your daily bread? Do we even stop and notice the places that are enough? I invite you today as you stop and take one day at a time, and I invite myself because it's hard for all of us to look and see what does sustain you. Where is God giving you enough? And as you turn to that place of gratitude, my guess is that what we're going to find is that we have more than enough in most places of our life. Give us this one day enough. The prayer seems clear enough, and it seems like that's the place we could stop. Give us this day our daily bread. But there's this very important twist that it's easy for us to miss. There's this one word that is throughout the whole Lord's Prayer that really I don't think enough about, and it's this word, us. Give us our daily bread. The kingdom of God, the Christ we follow, doesn't ask us to pray for me or just for us in this room, but give us, your people, your creation, enough for today. So if I'm praying this prayer with boldness, I have to look at the broader picture. I love the image of the globe. I have to be willing to look at the whole globe. People I don't know, places I don't understand, faiths I may not understand. I have to be willing to look beyond me and mine to us. I was in Brazil a long time ago. I went to a home with a group of people to help an older woman whose house, she had a mud house, and it was supposedly falling. They needed us to help and go back to build this wall back because I knew nothing about building walls, but that was what we were doing. So we got there. We had to wade through water. We had to climb up a hill. There were sticker bushes. And we got there, and what I found was a literal mud hut. It did have two rooms. There was no indoor bathroom. This lady was delightful and joyful and jubilant in all of her 80 years. Her grown children and grandchildren and one great-grandchild lived in this little mud hut. And when we went to help her, I'm not sure what we expected, but what we found is that the back room of this hut didn't just have a wall problem, it had no wall. And because it had no wall, it had no ceiling. So when I pray for her, what I know is that she has joy because she knows that in Jesus Christ there's enough. And she prays for us, Lord, give us all our daily bread. So when I think back to that person, I realize I can't just pray for me to have enough. I need to pray for her to have enough. I know some children who this past few weeks could not go to school in the city schools because they didn't have uniforms. And after the first week, if you don't have a uniform, you can't go. And as I look at those children, I think, you know, God calls us to pray, Lord, give us our daily bread. Enough for children without uniforms, enough for people without walls. We have children who are lost in drugs, and in those places we pray, give us daily bread, not just for me, but for that person too. We know that there are people in our church communities who can't go to church anymore. They're unable. And as we sit here today together, we pray, give us all daily bread. Because what we know is that at Christ's table, there really is enough for everybody. The table is not small. It's not a table that we own. It's not a table that we get to dictate. It's a table that is huge. It is a table that welcomes all people. People we don't know, people we may not like, that person we haven't spoken to in years. It is a table that is so great because indeed Christ calls us to pray that we all have our daily bread. So another confession is I'm a person who struggles with having enough. Some days I feel guilty because I have too much, and some days I'm sure that I need more, and some days I feel like I'm certainly entitled to more. But my prayer is in each day that I can remember that it's not just about me. It is a prayer of plurality. Give us, God. Give us our daily bread, our sustenance. Give us all enough, knowing that that is what Christ came for. So as we come to this table today, I ask that we consider that there is enough room. That as we take the bread and the cup, that it's not just for us. It's not just for Presbyterians. It is for that person who you would most like to not see ever again. It is a table that is for that person on the fringes who needs to be invited in to know there's enough room. It's a place where maybe some of us take up a little too much room and we need to scoot over and realize God has enough for all. As we come to the table today, we can remember that there is daily bread. There is daily bread for all of us. So because this first week, what we know about the kingdom of heaven is that it is a place for all God's people. It is a place where there is enough, there is abundance, and there is plenty. So today, as we move forward, as we consider being the kingdom of God on earth, let us keep praying. Give us, O God, our daily bread. Amen.